This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A public nuisance. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, November 24th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
In a closely watched case, an Ohio jury has found pharmacies at CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart enabled the opioid crisis.
A sixth person has now died in the wake of the Christmas parade disaster in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
The Biden administration has filed an emergency legal motion to have its vaccine mandate reinstated for large employers.
And what to know about those free turkey promotions ahead of Thanksgiving.
A couple of things that are going on here. One is that, first of all, they're just trying to get you to spend an X amount of dollars. I mean, the case of ShopRite, you know, a chain that's very popular in the Northeast, you have to spend $400, and that they don't, you don't have to do it all at once. It can be over a couple of visits, but, you know, that's real money.
Charles Passy at MarketWatch explains free turkeys that aren't free. The Wisconsin Christmas Parade massacre now has a sixth fatality. Waukesha County officials announced yesterday that an 8-year-old boy was the latest to die from his injuries. We learned of the death of Jackson Sparks as District Attorney Sue Opper announced 5 counts of first-degree intentional homicide against 39-year-old Daryl Brooks of Milwaukee.
He was told to stop by police officers. They risked their own safety to try and step in front of the car to stop him. Everything was done to get him to stop, and he just simply continued down the roadway, causing death and destruction in his path.
A sixth homicide charge will also be filed. Police say Mr. Brooks was fleeing a domestic disturbance where a knife was reported right before entering the parade route. More than 60 people were injured. Meanwhile, donations to aid the victims are pouring in. Nearly $900,000 had been raised by last evening on several GoFundMe pages. Well, 5 days before Daryl Brooks allegedly drove his SUV into a Christmas parade in the suburban Milwaukee city of Waukesha, he was released from police custody after posting bail in another case in which he was accused of running his car over a woman. Now, the $1,000 cash bail, which the district attorney's office has called inappropriately low, is drawing criticism from victims' families as well as opponents of criminal justice reform. It's a story by Marissa Iotti, reporter at The Washington Post. Marissa, what do we know?
Yeah, so we know that Daryl Brooks is 39. He's from Milwaukee, and he has what appears to be a pretty long criminal record dating back to 1999. Recently, he's been involved in a couple of incidents. He was arrested in July 2020 in a domestic incident, released in February, and then allegedly involved in another domestic incident just a couple weeks ago. Early this month, he's accused of attempting to run over the mother of his child in a car. And then a few days after that, he was released, and that was just before the parade.
Okay, so some people are now questioning, right? It was like $1,000 cash bail, saying that was appropriate or maybe it was inappropriate. Explain the discussion that's happening around that.
Yeah, so his bail last year when he was arrested was initially much higher. And then in February, he requested a speedy trial to try to move things along. In his case, he was denied, but in what may have been sort of an exchange, the court lowered his bail to $500. He was able to get out at that point and then allegedly reoffended in this other incident earlier this month, was rearrested, and that at that point, his bail was raised from $500 to $1,000. Because he had reoffended, the stakes were a little bit higher, but he had been showing up to court.
Okay. How is bail set generally? Aren't there some sort of guidelines by state or by county?
Yeah. So prosecutors request a certain amount, and then a judge or a court commissioner makes the ultimate decision. I talked to a former public defender in Wisconsin yesterday who said the purpose of bail is to ensure that a defendant shows up in court. So everyone's going to look at this incident and say, you know, he allegedly did something horrible and should he have been out? But on the other hand, he was showing up to court for his other cases. And so when a judge is looking at this, they're going to assume he's going to keep showing up.
We're speaking with Marissa Iotti, reporter at The Washington Post. Her piece is called Suspect's Bail Draws Questions as Investigations Begin into Wisconsin Parade Tragedy. What, have we had any reaction from the district attorney's office?
So far, it's just the DA saying that they're going to conduct this internal review. So far, they've declined to talk about it.
Yeah. And then explain, too, because you mentioned like the different angles that are starting to develop that also are bringing up questions or require further investigation.
Yeah. So he allegedly was involved in another domestic related altercation the morning of the parade. There may have been knives involved. Police were called to that, but they say they didn't actually make it to that scene to be able to investigate that before they heard that that this red SUV was speeding through the parade. So they all shifted focus, went to the parade. They did say that they fired at the vehicle to try to stop it. Apparently nobody was hit by that.
Got it. And can you explain, too, like the politics of this? So you reference what conservative policymakers say. What's being said on each side? Is it becoming a political issue?
It likely will. So bail reform in general is a pretty hot topic right now nationwide. A couple of states have either eliminated or partially eliminated the idea of cash bail and are focusing more on either letting someone out without any money being turned over or just holding them if they think that they won't show up to court.
Got it. Since you brought it up, can you explain the differences, I guess, in bail, cash bail versus more traditional bail?
I think cash bail is what I would consider traditional bail. It's just what amount of money someone has to pay to be released and show up to their court dates. But the states that have implemented bail reform are either partially or largely trying to remove the money element of it.
Right. Very good. Good stuff. Anything else you want to drop in that wasn't mentioned that you think we need to put in the story?
This is happening as people are starting to gather again during the pandemic. This parade was canceled entirely last year, and this year people were able to come back. They were celebrating the holidays. They were maskless. It was kind of people reemerging into society. And so I think that adds a particularly sad element to this.
Thanks, Marissa. Marissa Iotti, reporter at The Washington Post. A federal jury in Virginia has found the organizers of the 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville liable for injuries sustained by counter-protesters and awarded about $26 million in damages. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The nine plaintiffs in the case said they suffered physical or emotional trauma, including four who were struck when a self-described neo-Nazi drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters, killing 32-year-old Heather Heyer. After a four-week trial, the jury found in favor of the victims on four of the six counts, but was unable to come to a unanimous verdict on the others. The events during those 2 days in August 4 years ago were attended by hundreds of members of white nationalist, neo-Nazi, and militia groups from around the U.S. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The rally followed months of protests over Charlottesville's plan to remove a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee, you'll recall. Hundreds of white nationalists traveled to the city, with some marching on the University of Virginia campus, carrying torches and chanting, "Jews will not replace us." Coming up next, sticker shock at the pump awaits Thanksgiving travelers. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us.
If today's your Thanksgiving getaway day, you'll find that gas prices will remain high as millions of Americans take to the roads and sky to meet family and friends. AAA says the national average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gas is $3.40. Gasoline prices have risen steadily, as you know, over the past year and have become a big contributor to inflation, which is at its highest rate in 31 years. In an effort to bring down prices, President Biden says the U.S. plans to tap national strategic petroleum reserves.
Today, we're launching a major effort to moderate the price of oil, an effort that will span the globe in its reach and ultimately reach your corner gas station, God willing.
Pump prices are up 61% from a year ago as oil and gas production lags behind a return of consumer demand coming out of the pandemic. The most expensive state for gasoline, no surprise, remains California, where a gallon of regular unleaded averages $4.70, followed by Hawaii at $4.34. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Prosecutors in Wisconsin have charged Darryl Brooks Jr. with intentional homicide in the deaths of five people who were killed when his SUV drove into a Christmas parade that also left 62 people injured. Waukesha County District Attorney Sue Opper says additional charges are pending.
We learned of another death of a child related to this case. We do expect a sixth count for first-degree intentional homicide to be issued or added, to this case.
Conviction on first-degree intentional homicide carries a mandatory life sentence.
Number two.
The Biden administration has asked a federal court to let it move ahead with a workplace rule that would require employees at larger companies to be vaccinated against COVID or face weekly testing. It's estimated that the vaccine mandate could prevent the deaths of 6,500 workers and the hospitalizations of 250,000 people over 6 months. If it stands, the OSHA rule would take effect January 4th.
Number three.
In reaching a partial verdict, a jury has determined nine people injured during the 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, are entitled to financial compensation, but jurors could not agree on the most serious claims that the defendants, about two dozen white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and key organizers, engaged in a conspiracy to commit violence under federal law. The case was the first major lawsuit in years to be tried under the so-called Ku Klux Klan Act. A Kansas City man who was jailed for more than 40 years for three murders has been released from prison after a judge ruled he was wrongfully convicted in 1979. 62-year-old Kevin Strickland, who always maintained he was home watching TV and had nothing to do with the killings, learned of the decision when the news scrolled across the prison TV.
Just thankful to have, aside for this wheelchair, my help, and not get any more victimized in that prison system than I was.
The Jackson County prosecutor said evidence used to convict Strickland had since been recanted or disproven. In the music world, there's a new number one. Blinding Lights by Canadian pop star The Weeknd has become the number one song of all time on Billboard's music charts. Blinding Lights, which now has spent 90 weeks in the top 100 chart, ousts Chubby Checker's 1960s hit The Twist to clinch the top spot.
Are you telling me that The Weeknd outdid the Stones?
Yes.
The Beatles,
U2,
Michael Jackson, U2?
Mm-hmm.
Holiday parties are back, making it the perfect time to do a reset and upgrade your look. The Black Friday event from Indochino offers their lowest prices of the year on suits, shirts, outerwear, and more. Even lower if you use the code Gordon at Indochino.com. You can go to a showroom or measure yourself online at Indochino.com. That's what I did. The chinos I customized are the best fitting pair of pants I've ever worn, a feeling you cannot get with pants off the rack. Indochino suits start at just $299. Shirts start at $45 with all customizations included. Get away from your video call style and back into looking and feeling amazing. Indochino's Black Friday event runs from November 8th to the 29th. Save even more and get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code Gordon at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Indochino.com. Promo code Gordon. Again, Indochino.com, promo code Gordon. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday in this year of turkey inflation. Food retailers and even cell phone companies are rolling out promotions to bag a free bird. But Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch, says consumers should shop carefully. Charles, help us out.
Well, you know, most supermarkets are sort of do this kind of loss leader offer. They can try to get you to the store. And I've seen it for as low as $100. I think I've heard reports of even spending $50. You spend a certain amount and you get a free turkey, or sometimes you get a turkey on a discount. It can be as high as spending up to $400, though, in some cases. So it's, you know, but it's basically to get you in the store, theoretically, to do your holiday shopping. And you know, there's some thought that this year, it seems like the offers have been a little bit more promoted because turkey prices are soaring. So people are very conscious of the fact that they're spending a lot more. So maybe this deal becomes all the more enticing. So in a couple of things that are going on here, one is that, you know, first of all, they're just trying to get you to spend an X amount of dollars. I mean, in the case of ShopRite, you know, a chain that's very popular in the Northeast, you have to spend $400, and that they don't, you don't have to do it all at once. It can be over a couple of visits, but, you know, that's real money. And, you know, they may be giving you a good deal on the turkey, but maybe not on those bags of stuffing or on the cranberry sauce, on the gravy. So in other words, prices can be, you know, at the regular level, if not even higher, for some items that they know are likely to be in the Thanksgiving shopping basket. So you have to be very careful. I mean, I have talked to a couple of shoppers, and they said that they were sort of mindful of the fact that if they see that, you know, the turkey is free, but, you know, they're going to be paying X more for pie crust, let's say, they may buy the pie crust at another store that has them at a reasonable price. So you have to be very mindful of that.
We're speaking with Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch. His piece is called "Why That Free Supermarket Turkey Isn't Really Free." I got a kick out of that story you told of the one guy. He just loves turkey. He just loves making sandwiches, and he was willing to, like, embrace any deal.
He got three turkeys. He got one at a reduced price at one store. But what I loved about this guy is he had another member of his household go with him shopping. So it was a $100 offer, $100 and you get a free turkey. So he said to this other member of his family, you know, we know we're gonna spend more than $200. Let's split the bill so we can get two turkeys. So he got two turkeys from that store, another turkey from another store. And I said, you got three turkeys. What are you going to do? He was very direct. He said, I'm going to eat one for Thanksgiving. I'm going to experiment with smoking one. I guess he'd still have one left over. And in a very heartwarming fashion, he is going to give one to a needy family. But he is awash in turkeys, and he's got a plan. So, but I do think it was kind of funny that, you know, hey, if you're going shopping with your significant other, and you know you're going to pass the $100 mark, maybe if you're going to pass the $200 mark, split it into two baskets, get two turkeys while you're at it. So just a thought.
Thanks, Charles. Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. And you can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Expert insight, world-class reporting. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, November 24. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. A sixth victim has now died from the Christmas parade disaster in Wisconsin. A jury in Ohio finds major pharmacy chains contributed to the opioid epidemic. Jury deliberations underway in the Ahmaud Arbery trial. Biden administration asking an appeals court to reinstate its vaccine mandate rules. Marvel's Hawkeye came out on Disney Plus earlier today. House of Gucci, featuring Lady Gaga and Al Pacino, hits theaters today. And the high school construction class improving its Rhode Island community. That story in about 20 minutes. As we have told you, new data from the CDC found that more than 100,000 Americans died of drug overdoses the year following COVID lockdowns, the most ever in a one-year span. And at least one addiction recovery expert feels it's going to get worse. Concepta McNamara is a life coach and author of a new book called Freedom. She's in the Boston area. Concepta, those numbers were probably not a surprise to you.
It really didn't surprise me. Been in recovery myself for over 30 years. I have seen many, many, you know, people die from this disease of alcoholism and drug addiction. And I definitely see it's getting worse. And a lot of people will, you know, point at the pandemic. But a lot of it, I think, is just not really having a relationship with ourselves. Not connecting with ourselves, lack of self-love, you know, to see the, you know, the headlines of death. It's really important for me to go back in time and see what's really missing. You know, underneath every addiction is pain, and the antidote for that is connection with another human being. And a lot of that does not get, you know, used because of, you know, early use of alcohol stunts our growth. We don't have the ability to communicate. There's so much that goes on between the mind of the addict, and a lot of times that mind is extremely distorted before they ever, you know, take that last hit or drug.
Why do you think, Concepta, that it's going to get worse?
I think it's going to get worse because it is so easy to get drugs nowadays. You know, they even make what some people consider a gateway drug, marijuana, legal in many states. I think it's an amazing drug for people that really have pain. But someone like myself who used it for many, many years without having, you know, the external pain, but being able to use it to numb out. And that did become a gateway drug for me. But luckily I was blessed, you know, at a young age to also, you know, be able to reach out for help and get some help. But I do think it's getting easier and easier to get drugs on the streets nowadays. So that's the part that's heartbreaking.
We're speaking with Concepta McNamara, life coach, also author of a new book called Freedom. We're talking about what the pandemic has meant for addiction. So during the pandemic, people found addiction, say, for the first time, I may not be wording it correctly, and in addition, were certain people's condition made worse as an addict during the pandemic?
It's interesting because I work with clients as a life coach, and I've working currently with a few people that as a result of the pandemic, they actually got clean and sober because their local bars closed down, and there were a few of the blessed people, but it did go the opposite for other people. I do know people's rage and anger have heightened, and again, because of their inability to communicate effectively and to be able to have that connection with themselves, it got extremely distorted and worse and created a lot of pain for many people, especially the family that have to look at the addict, you know, going deeper and deeper into that dark place.
During the pandemic, was it a certain age group that found themselves being addicts?
I don't really put it. I don't think, you know, addiction cares how old you are. I really believe it depends on where you were at prior to the pandemic. You know, I know 60-year-olds that were able to get sober. I know 22-year-olds that died. You know, it's like there's no age when it comes to addiction.
Right. All right. So if you are in a position where either you yourself recognize that there's something that needs to be addressed, or you are observing a loved one in trouble, what do you do? What are the first steps?
Well, I think there's a lot of power in prayer, and I say prayer without any, you know, necessary religion attached to it, but some form of higher power, because a lot of times it is beyond our control. You know, if it was something a family could help, that would be great, but a lot of times it's something has to shift internally. And, you know, the family can reach out, but a lot of times it really is up to the addict themselves to want a different way of living. And again, be willing to deal with the pain underneath.
Thanks, Concepta. Concepta McNamara, life coach and author of a new book called Freedom. By the way, a federal jury in Cleveland has found that the companies owning CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart pharmacies were liable for contributing to the opioid epidemic in two Ohio counties. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Welcome into Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. Time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we're only a little more than 24 hours from the first smells of Thanksgiving wafting in from the kitchen, so it's a good time to find out exactly what will be on the menu, depending on what part of the country you live in. Google has shared search results in order to determine what the favorite Thanksgiving casseroles are in each state, and as tends to happen with these lists, there are a few oddballs. Let's start with the tried and true. Green bean and broccoli casseroles were popular in a large portion of the country, as were corn and sweet potato-based dishes. Some of the more unique offerings come from South Carolina, where a pineapple bake was popular. Ooh. That also involves cheese and Ritz crackers. Alaska likes a good mashed potato cream cheese casserole. Nebraska was the only state where mac and cheese came out on top for some reason. Some states had breakfast bakes listed as their favorite, like Connecticut, Indiana, and Mississippi. And in some states, including Pennsylvania and Maryland, Thanksgiving is better the next day, with leftover topping the search list.
Oh, really?
I kind of subscribe to that theory. I think Thanksgiving is much better the next day than it is on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just a whole bunch of leftovers thrown on a plate and then, you know, tossed in the microwave. Somehow that's better than the fresh stuff, or I feel better about it than the fresh stuff. Maybe because I'm already full from everything I've eaten before the meal comes out on Thanksgiving, and I'm more hungry the next day and kind of appreciate it more almost.
Always my undoing, and I can never stop it as much as I think about it ahead of time, and that is gorging on the hors d'oeuvres.
Yes.
Specifically shrimp cocktail.
Right.
Pieces of pretzel or cheese, veggies in dip. I'm done.
Yeah.
By the time the meal comes down, I'm just shoehorning in.
Yeah. Shrimp is very filling. You don't want to overdo shrimp. They're small. They don't look like much, but they do fill you up.
But I do. It's my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
It's definitely my favorite stuff.
I got you.
But if I got green bean casserole and stuffing with gravy, I need nothing else on Thanksgiving.
Right.
I don't care about turkey.
Yes.
Mashed potatoes is up there, but everything else. Just don't need.
I'll take the turkey if there's a dark meat available, but if not, then I'm with you. Then I'll just go sides.
Just the salty foods. Love it.
And we've talked plenty about the high price of gas, but one man won't have to worry about that for a while and can keep his tank properly filled. After winning a lottery jackpot from a Florida gas station while his car was basically running on fumes, the man told Florida lottery officials that he pulled into the Tampa gas station as he was nearly running out of gas and decided to buy a scratch-off ticket while he was there. He was still standing at the pumps when he realized he was holding a $2 million winning ticket.
Oh.
He was so excited about it, he left before his tank was full. Imagine that, just stopping the gas, I'm out of here.
Right. Oh, that's unbelievable. Well, with those types of winnings, he didn't need to buy a tank of gas. He could just order a new car.
Well, yeah, sure.
Just bring it to me on the side of the road
with
a full tank of gas.
When this one runs out, I'll just buy another one. Right. We'll just do that a few times.
Here's a little something for yourself, too, for bringing it. Oh, that's amazing. Good story. Thank you, Mike. Coming up next, the best and worst times to travel this Thanksgiving. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Thanksgiving traffic is seeing an uptick as families throughout the country plan to reunite now that there are coronavirus vaccines available. Utilizing traffic data from INRIX, a location-based analytics company that monitors motor vehicle movement, AAA was able to come up with an updated travel forecast that has narrowed down the best and worst times to drive around Thanksgiving week. According to its traffic data, the best times to drive are today after 9 p.m., tomorrow and Friday before 11 a.m., and Saturday and Sunday before noon. The worst times to drive are today from noon till 8, tomorrow from noon till 3, Friday from 1 until 4, then Saturday and Sunday pretty much anytime after 1 o'clock. The metro areas that will likely see the worst of Thanksgiving traffic: Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Jury deliberations are scheduled to resume for a second day today in the trial of three men charged with chasing and killing Ahmaud Arbery after the 25-year-old man was spotted running in their Georgia neighborhood. Judge Timothy Walmsley addressed the jury before deliberations began yesterday.
For a defendant's threat or use of force to be justified: one, the defendant must believe that his threat or use of force is necessary. Two, that belief must be reasonable, that is, a reasonable person would also believe that the threat or use of force is necessary.
The jury spent about 6 hours deliberating yesterday before adjourning without a verdict.
Number two.
The U.S. is facing its second Thanksgiving of the pandemic in better shape than the first time around thanks to the vaccine, though some regions are seeing surges of COVID cases that could get worse as families travel the country for gatherings. Hospitals in Michigan and Minnesota are again filled with COVID patients who are mostly unvaccinated. In the West, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and Montana also facing surges. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock says his city has to return to indoor mask mandates.
I know it's disappointing that the decisions of some again mean additional restrictions on our vaccinated residents. And I certainly share in that disappointment, because I know a lot of work has gone into getting us to where we are. But this is the situation.
Number three.
The House Select Committee investigating the deadly Capitol invasion has issued subpoenas to the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, two far-right organizations whose members were involved in the January 6th attack. The latest batch of subpoenas follows dozens of other requests from the House Committee for documents and testimony from witnesses believed to have tangible connections to January 6th and the events that precipitated it. SpaceX has launched a first-of-its-kind planetary defense mission for NASA, sending the spacecraft on its way to intentionally crash into an asteroid known as the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, mission. The space agency is trying to learn how to deflect a threat that would come toward Earth. DART was launched early this morning on a Falcon 9 rocket from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California.
So cool. 15,000 miles an hour. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. A high school construction class has quietly worked on charitable projects to benefit the Westerly, Rhode Island community for more than two decades. But that suddenly changed when the internet caught wind that over a dozen of Dan McKenna's students at Westerly High School banded together to build a bus stop for a local elementary school student who is wheelchair-bound. Fox News says it all started when the father of five-year-old Ryder Killam posted on Facebook back in September that the family was seeking a bus stop to replace their makeshift shelter made of a patio umbrella tied to a fence. Dad was trying to find a way to keep his son, who was born with spina bifida, sheltered from the harsh New England weather while waiting for the school bus. After roughly a month, Ryder's replacement was complete, designed so he could actually sit in his wheelchair and see the bus in the shelter. The end result was an ADA-compliant hut with two windows. For the winter months, the Killams even added a heat lamp. Someone even dropped off a heated blanket for Ryder at the bus stop. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.